Okay, there we go. Okay, so I thought we would take these next couple of weeks because we're going to be interrupted because of the time that that Shear is relative to days of the week.
Right.
That we won't have that many Shurim between now and the end of the Chagim. Because so we have this week, we have next week. I think that might be even it.
Yeah.
And then we, that'll probably be it till after the Chagim. So I figured we would, I think we have two or three. So I figured we would take the opportunity to look at some things relating to Rosh Hashanah. Matter of fact, to look at Tkiyat Shofar from three different perspectives. So I want to start with the first, most open one, which is the nature of the day. And as you can see, Anne's yard site was this week. And so we're dedicating this to her memory, Rachel Rivka, Bat Rav Matityahu HaKohen. Hi, Jason. Welcome. And so I want to take a look at the nature of the day of Rosh Hashanah. And we're going to find something surprising. I want to start with a pasuk that comes out of absolutely nowhere, seemed to have no connection whatsoever. And it's a pasuk in the very, it's a passage in the very end of a very short parak of Yoshua, Yoshua Parakeh, which is the lead up to the war against Jericho. And this is after Bnei Israel have crossed and have done that mass Brit Milah and brought the Korban Pesach. And then we have the following passage. We looked at this in another context a few years ago in the context of encounters with angelic beings and the Rambam's approach and seeing them as a vision. Vahibiyot Yoshua Biricho, source one, which Biricho is a little difficult because Yericho is a sealed up city with the enemy living inside. So what's Yoshua doing in Yericho? So the general explanation is in the adjacent Yericho. But then again, according to the Rambam, it's all a vision. So he looks up and he sees a man standing there with a drawn sword. And so Yoshua says, are you with us or are you against us? He says, no, meaning I'm neither, I am a malach. So Yoshua falls on his face and says, What's the command? A lot of questions like how do you do such a thing? How do you believe this guy and surrender yourself, make yourself vulnerable like that? Lo chashuv for right now. So what does the angel say to Yoshua? Now where do you know that line from?
Very English, right?
Right, exactly. Now, this is part of a larger phenomenon in Sefer Yoshua Bichlal and focused on the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, where Yoshua's big fear, understandably, is how do I take the place of Moshe Rabbeinu? And God continually gives him support through all sorts of Moshe associations, like splitting the Yarden, which really, if you think about it, was a little unnecessary. And all of the rocks that are involved in the story of Yoshua goes back to the rock that Moshe was sitting on when Yeshua first appeared in history. A lot of these connections. And Hashem says explicitly to him, Kasher Aiti Moshe Imach, I'll be with you like I was with Moshe. Okay. That's one piece of the puzzle, is that he's saying also, you take your shoes off, this is a holy place. But what's he calling a holy place? He's calling Yericho, or the area outside of Yericho, a holy place. Fine, is it because it's Eretz Yisrael? Then he should have said that the minute they crossed. What does this mean? And in source two, you have the parallel passage that Robert, you referred to, which is when Moshe sees the bush and the Malach calls to him and then says, take your shoes off your feet because the land that you're standing on is holy ground. Now, why is that holy ground at the bush? So the answer seems to be because at a later point, Ma'amad Har Sinai, meaning this is the spot where they're going to get the Torah. And so Hashem is going to reveal himself. And therefore, even earlier in the pasuk, in the first pasuk in this parak, it's called Har HaElohim, the mountain of God. All right, so we understand that it's a holy place because of this great revelation that's going to happen later on. Why is that why is Jericho called a holy place, and that Yoshua has to take his feet and his shoes off. All right, so keep that in the back of your mind. And now let's go to the issue of the shofar. All right, Parshat Emor presents the whole list of it's the fullest treatment of the calendar we have in the Torah or anywhere in Tanakh. And it starts off with Shabbat and then Moadei Hashem, it starts with Pesach and then the Omer and Sfirah and Shavuot and then what we call Rosh Hashanah, though it's not called that anywhere in Tanakh, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, right, Maftir. By the Adonai Moshe Lemor, look at the Rosh Hashanah piece. Davar Adonai Yisrael Lemor, B'chodesh HaShvi'i B'chad L'chodesh, so the seventh month, first day of the month. Obviously, it's very hard to call that Rosh Hashanah, considering it's the seventh month. Yelachem Shabbaton, Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh. So this day is a day of Shabbaton, which means a day of ceasing of work, and it's called Zichron Trua. Now, Zichron Trua means a commemoration of a Trua, which means if I look at this passage alone, I don't know what I'm supposed to do on this day except rest. And the next pasuk tells me what I'm not allowed to do. Kol melachat avodah lo tasu, just like on Shabbat, b'kavtem yishev Adonai, and I bring a korban. Okay, but I'm not told about how to commemorate this day, except I'm supposed to make it a commemoration of a truah. So a commemoration of a truah sounds like there was some truah that happened in history, and I'm supposed to do something to remember it. So what truah would we assume this is? If there was some famous truah in history, what truah would we associate that happened in history that we're supposed to commemorate?
Har Sinai?
So we would assume Har Sinai. And there are mefarshim on the pasuk that say that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be remembering Ma'amad Har Sinai. And the idea is to remember the great day of the shofar. The problem with that, of course, is that nowhere in Tanakh is Rosh Hashanah associated with Ma'amad Har Sinai. Not here, not in the next passage, not in the famous passage that shows up in Nehemiah Chet that talks about that first day of the seventh month. Nowhere is there association with Matan Torah. So let's hold on to the idea of Zichron Truah, but look for something else. But then we come to the real roadblock, which is Uvachodesh HaShvi'i in the parallel passage in Pinchas that also goes through all the Moadim, but there with the focus on the Korbanot, Uvachodesh HaShvi'i b'chad l'chodesh mikra kodesh yelachem, again, kol melechat avodah lo tasu, everything is there except Shabbaton, and now it's called Yom Truah yelachem, a day of Truah. And we understand from the Parsha of Yovel that the Truah is done with the Shofar. And then by putting this Yom Truah and Zichron Truah and Yovel together, we understand that there's three Truot. And we did that a few years ago where the Truah has to have a Pshuta before and a Pshuta afterwards. And what's a Truah? We have three different opinions. So we end up with 30 Kolot. And then how we get to 100 is a whole different story. Okay. But we essentially have a contradiction here between Yom Truah and Zichron Truah. In other words, is it a day in which we're supposed to actively blast a shofar with no mention whatsoever about what that means? Or is it a day in which we're supposed to do something to remember the shofar? Or do we put the two together and say it's a day of truah and zichron truah, which means either you're supposed to blast the shofar in order to remember some other shofar, or you're supposed to blast the shofar and as part of that blasting, make it a commemoration? It's unclear. So the truth is that in the Midrashim, there's several directions that are explored. One of them you see here in the Yerushalmi, it's really anchored in the Sifra, as you'll see in a minute, that the Yerushalmi says, Zichron Trua Elu HaZichronot. And Rashi says this in his commentary on Chumash, that the idea of Zichron Truah is either alluding to all of those psukim we say along with the shofar, meaning the 10 psukim of Malchiot, 10 psukim of Zichronot, the 10 psukim of Shofrot, or specifically to the Zichronot section, where we talk about how God remembers us, and we'll see the fuller treatment of that in a moment. And so let's skip down to source 7, which is, again, the fuller treatment, in the Sifra, in the Midrash Tanaim on Vayikra. It does defy, brought the whole piece, but Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shabbaton, the pasuk Shabbaton Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh, that's our pasuk. Shabbaton Zo Kedushat Hayom. So the word Shabbaton is referring to the bracha that we say that ends with Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. Melech HaKol Haaretz Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. Right? Zichron Elu HaZichronot. Trua Elu HaShofarot. In other words, he reads Shabbaton, Zichron, Trua. Each one of them is alluding to one of the three central brachot in Musaf, which of course is difficult because then you're going to tell me that Tfilat Musaf is Doraita. That's a big push. And then that the special psukim said in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is also Doraita. Somewhat difficult. Rabbi Akiva doesn't exactly disagree with that premise. He disagrees with the application. Amarlo Rabbi Akiva, Eino Omer Shabbaton Ela Shvut. Shabbaton just means don't work. Shekeinu Poteach B'Shvita Rishon. It always starts these parshiyot with Shabbaton. Ela Zikaron, Zichron Elu Zichronot. Trua elu shofarot and mikra kodesh zo kedushat hayom. Right, and minayin shukolel imanat malchiyot. How do I know that I'm supposed to incorporate malchut? Right, all the psukim about malchiyot, Adonai melech olam ve'ed, utrat melech bo, etc. All those psukim su shar mashechem. How do I know I'm supposed to include all of those? Talmud lamar, ani Adonai lechem b'chodesh hashvi. In other words, at the end of this passage, it says, Ani Adonai Elohechem, says, oh, just to declare God's kingdom. But the idea is that in this midrashic direction, they're taking the words Zichron Truah as an appendage to Yom Truah. Yom Truah, you have to blow the shofar. And along with blowing the shofar, you also have to mention all sorts of psukim, which are Shabbaton and Zichron and Truah, or Zichron and Truah and Ani Hashem. Okay. That's one direction to take to resolving this contradiction.
Are they saying you have to do specific
sukkim?
Yeah, sukkim, or that anything that is a remembrance? Because most of the passages, right, that we recite in Zichronot, for example, were written later.
Right. So the rule is that the Mishnah states that you have to have three psukim from Chumash, three psukim from Ketuvim, three psukim from Neviim. And then we end up, you know, you go back to Pasuk in Chumash, Toratcha Ketuv Lemor. So you're right. There's certainly no mention of specific psukim. And by the way, the Mishnah there doesn't tell you which psukim to use. It just says what kind of psukim not to use. Don't use psukim that are punishment, right? You have to use psukim that are positive, okay? Because there's shofarot that are about fast days and about trouble coming. We don't use those. As an example, or zikaron, when God remembers sins. We don't use those. But you're right. There's certainly no notion that there's specific psukim selected. But the idea here is that zichron truah tells us you have to not only blow a shofar, but along with that, you also have to mention things about God remembering. So the shofar is associated with memory. Okay, that's one way to go. There's another curious way to go that shows up in the Yerushalmi also. It also shows up in the Bavli, but at the beginning of the fourth parak. Sorry, the fourth parak starts, at the point of the Mishnah here, that when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat, we blow shofar in the Mikdash, but not outside of the Mikdash. And then there's a Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai gets involved with, do we blow it in Makom Havad? It was, we blow it wherever the central Beit Din is, to the point where you may know that the Rif in Fez blew shofar in his Beit Din on Shabbat, when Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbat, in the Beit Din. But the idea is that it's not blown everywhere. So the Gemara asks, and Bavli also has the same thing, where does this come from? So here you have in source 6, Katuv Achad Omer Yom Truah, Katuv Achad Omer Zichron Truah. So it identifies our contradiction, and they resolve it as follows: Haketzad, b'sha'ah shuchal b'chol yom truah, b'sha'ah shuchal b'shabbat zichron truah, mazkirin avalo tokin. So, what the suggestion made here is that the Torah is providing two avenues for shofar. Avenue one is if Rosh Hashanah falls out Sunday through Friday, then you actually blow the shofar. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat, then you just remember the shofar, which means Zichron Truah is now not an addendum to Truah, but it's an alternative to Truah. Either you blast the shofar or you talk about the shofar. Right? Now, this, of course, is very difficult, and it does not withstand the test, because if that's the case, then why do we blow the shofar on Shabbat in the Mikdash? In other words, based on what you're saying, midoraita, there is no shofar on Shabbat. And that's absolutely not true. And by the way, the Gemara in the Bavli mentions the fact that tkiat shofar is not a malacha on Shabbat. It's something called a chokhmah, below malacha. It's a bit of artistry, but it doesn't involve the malacha. And therefore, it's mutar on Shabbat midoraita. The Rabbanan made a rule not to blow shofar on Shabbat, but they did not apply that rule to the Mikdash. So it's very hard to make this work within a psukim. So the question is, we have now three different possible ways of looking at Zichron Truah versus Truah. Way number one, which is the teleological, which is you're supposed to blast the shofar Yom Truah, and that should be a day in which you remember another Truah, which we thought was Har Sinai. The problem with that, of course, is that there's no mention anywhere about Har Sinai. I mean, in Musaf there is, in Shofarot. We talk about Atad Nigleta, Banan Kvodecha, et cetera, but not in the Tanakh. No connection whatsoever to Har Sinai. The second possibility is what we saw here, is that Zichron Truah becomes an addendum, an enhancement to Truah. Not only blow the shofar, but you say psukim with it. And the third one is this one suggested, which is Zichron Truah becomes an alternative to Truah. When you can't blow the shofar because it's Shabbat, instead you say psukim. But I want to go back to the first one, because of a different angle. Let's first of all, just to substantiate what Robert said, if you take a look at source 8, you will see that the shofar is left, right, and center at Har Sinai. And not only that, but after Mamad Har Sinai, the reaction of the people is they're freaking out because of Ve'kol Amro, Ima Takolot Ve'talapidim, Ve'kol HaShofar Ve'tahar HaShein, this big light and smoke show and sound. And they backed off and they said to Moshe, you go get the rest, we can't do it. So the shofar is an essential part of Mamad Har Sinai. So we have good reason to say that it's a zichron. But then again, the problem is, where is this found anywhere in the text and the sources about Rosh Hashanah that it should be associated with it? So I wanted to take us to a different place, which will also bring us back to the first couple sources that I showed you about Yoshua. But beforehand, just one very quick tangent. The word zikaron, zikron is the construct state of zikaron. Zikron is zikaron shel, right? Now, what is a zikaron? And I want to distinguish the word zikaron from zecher. Okay? Zecher means a memory of somebody. When you mention somebody and remember them. Zecher tzaddik libracha, the pasuk says in Mishlei, right? When you mention a tzaddik, you're always mentioning him for good things that he did. What is a zikaron, though? A zikaron is not your memory act. It's rather a manifestation of a commemorative thing. And if you look here at sources 10 through 15, you'll find that in Tanakh, a zikaron is always associated with a physical object, right? So you have tefillin called zikaron. You're told that Hashem tells Moshe to write down the story of Amalek as a zikaron in a sefer. You find that the kitfot ha'ifod, the two stones that Aaron's going to put on the shoulder strap of the ephod, are called Avnei Zikaron, right? And by the way, the Choshen is also the Zikaron. When the Sota comes in, she brings a Mincha, which is called Minchat Zikaron Mazkerat Avon. So it's a physical manifestation that's there to remind us of the sin that she may have done. Back to Yoshua, when they cross the Yarden, Yoshua has them at God's command set up 12 stones inside the Yarden, and 12 stones in Gilgal. And the idea is that the children will say to their parents, what are those 12 stones? Well, those are connected to those 12 stones. And what to those 12 stones inside the Yarden? Because God walked us over on dry land. That's how we're able to set up stones in a river. And just like he had us cross Yam Suf. So it's a zikaron that doubles back three steps from here to the Yarden to Yam Suf. And Yoshua says, these rocks will be zikaron. And even in Malachi, at the end of Malachi, a beautiful passage, Asni Bari Adonai Ishal Reu, Hreu. People will talk to each other about Torah. Vaksheva Adonai Vayishma, God listens, Vayikatev Sefer Zikaron. Again, a Zikaron being a Sefer. One of the new things that's happened in our parasha, in Parashat HaMoadot, of which our pasuk is right in the middle of Zichron Truah, is that suddenly historic events are being commemorated through actions and not through physical representations. In other words, instead of saying, let's set up a rock or a book or an offering or something like that, which it is a physical manifestation that's set to remind us, we're moving up to the point where we're going to do an action that's there to remind us. We're going to say words that are there to remind us. And that seems to be sort of the progression that happens in our parsha to Zichron Truah. But we're still stuck with Zichron Truah. What is it we're supposed to be remembering? And again, the most likely candidate would be Mamad Har Sinai, and we saw Psukim for that. But again, the difficulty is that that's nowhere found. So I want to draw your attention to a different place here. In Parsha Balotcha, we have the Parsha of the Chatzotzrot. The Chatzotzrot are the cornets. And the Chatzotzrot and the Shofar, which are often intertwined in Tehillim, Chatzotzrot, because Shofar, really, Fnei HaMelech Adonai, and they're intertwined in Halacha. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us that on Rosh Hashanah, the Shofar is the main instrument. And so you have the Shofar in the middle and in the Beit HaMikdash, Chatzotzrot on both sides. And they would sound, and the shofar would go longer, and the chatzotzrot would cut out earlier. On fast days, they did the opposite. The chatzotzrot was in the middle, shofarot on the side, and the chatzotzrot would go longer. Chatzotzrot ma'arich. The chatzotzrot and the shofar, though, are very much associated, even though they're very different instruments. One of them is made of silver, one is made of a horn of an animal. But the use is very similar, and the words used in the Torah for the two sounds that we make are not only found in the Parsha of Chatzotzrot, but we actually get a stronger sense of what they're supposed to mean from here. So, for instance, when the camp is supposed to gather, it's a tkiah. On the other hand, when they're going to war, it's a truah. When the camp's going to move, it's a truah. When they're celebrating, it's a tkiah. So you get a sense of the two different kinds of sounds. You might almost call one major and one minor, although they're not. At the end of the Parsha of Chatzotzrot, the last two psukim, you have this. V'chitavo'u milchama bi'artzechem. When you go to war, al hatzar hatzorer etchem, against the enemy who's attacking you, v'harei otem b'chatzotzrot, you shall sound a truah with the Chatzotzrot, and what'll happen? V'nizkartem lifnei Adonai v'chem, v'noshatem b'yorvechem. Right, and we read this pasuk on Yom HaZikaron, and you'll be remembered before God, and you'll be saved from your enemies. And not only that, uviyom simchatchem. Now this is truah. Uviyom simchatchem moadechem ashechotchem utkatem b'chatzotzrot alotechem yalzichay shalmechem. And on festive days, what festive days are included here? It could even be that this is referring to the korban tamid every day. You do tkiah b'chatzotzrot. So you see both psukim use the word zikaron. Niz kartem, you'll be remembered, and this is zikaron. So again, here we're now not using a physical object as the zikaron, but the act done with the physical object. You're going to blow the shofar, and that's the zikaron before Hashem. Okay? So what? So now I want you to picture what's happening here in Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra is being given in Ohel Moed. We've just had Mamad Har Sinai. We're now in Ohel Moed. Hashem is dictating the rest of the mitzvot to Moshe. And what are we supposed to be doing at that point? We're going to finish all of that process. Mishkan is up. We're going to finish our encampment. And then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to fold up the camp and do what? March where?
To Israel.
Straight to Israel. Go to war. And sound the Chatzotzrot. And Hashem will remember us. And he's going to save us. And then what are we supposed to do? So take a look. But you're going to have a day off. Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh. This is the day in which you remember the Truah. Which Truah? So I'd like to suggest it's the Truah of war. In other words, you're going to go to war. And after you go to war and you conquer the land, you have to have a one day Yom Tzahal. one day of the year in which you remember the great victory. And you do it by remembering the Truah, because what's critical is you don't celebrate the military victory as a military victory. You celebrate the military victory as a religious occasion, as the fact that God was the one who was helping you. And so therefore, the day is called a Zichron Truah. How do you accomplish Zichron Truah? You do it by blasting the shofar. You say, we're going to blast the shofar, which will remind us of the shofar that either we or the generation before or our great-great-grandparents heard when they went to war and conquered the cities of Eretz Israel, Eretz Canaan, and turned it into Eretz Israel, and that's our land. Where do we see that? So please remember, Yehoshua is standing in Yericho, and this is where we started. And the Malach comes up to him and says, take your shoes off, you're standing on Admat Kodesh. Why Admat Kodesh? Because you're standing in a place where God is going to reveal himself with the sound of the shofar. Where's that? So just like Moshe Rabbeinu is told to take his shoes off because he's standing on Mount Kodesh, he's standing at Har Sinai, which is going to be suffused with the sound of the shofar. So Yehoshua is standing in a place which is going to be suffused with the sound of the shofar. But here's the difference. In the case of Mamad Har Sinai, who's sounding the shofar? God is. The sound of the shofar comes. Nobody blows the shofar. It's the sound of the shofar. What happens in Yericho? So how does Yericho start? I'm telling you that Yehoshua, that the city of Yericho and all of its mighty men, they are yours. The Sabotem Ta'ir, surround the city, encircle the city. Call on Shem Elchama, Hakeifa Ta'ir Pamachat. So the whole army should go around once. Kota Sashish Jamim, do it for 6 days. Shiva Choanim Yisu Shiva Shofrot Ha'yolim Fnei Haron. What are your weapons? You're going to have seven Kohanim standing with shofarot, walking in front of the Aron. So that they're walking. The Aron is in back of them, and in back of them, the army. Uvayoma Shvin Tasovate Yeshua Pamim. On the seventh day, you circle it seven times. Yerushalmi famously says, Hoshanot comes from here. Vaha Kohanim Itkova Shofarot. Now, I'm not doing the shofarot. Now, you're doing it. So that's the difference between the Midbar and Eretz Yisrael. The Midbar, I fed you. Now, you feed yourselves. And Midbar, I fought the wars. Now, you're going to fight the wars, but I'm there with you. And the Kohanim are going to blast the shofarot. Vayabim shoch bekeren hayovel. When you hear the shofar, keshomachem et kol ha-shofar, yariyo cholam truag dola. Then everybody should give a big scream, and then the walls will fall down, and you go on in and conquer it. By the way, notice that phrase, bimshoch bekeren hayovel. That is the same phrase that shows up here. Bimshoch hayovel hemayalu bahar. Har Sinai and Yericho are associated linguistically several times. These allusions are quite clear. And the most powerful allusion, of course, is take off your shoes, it's a holy place. So now we go back and say, oh, so meaning that Yericho, which is the first battle for a city in Eretz Israel, it's not really a battle, it's a landslide, it's a wipeout for a city in Eretz Israel, is associated with the sound of the shofar. It's a holy place where God's going to reveal himself, where the leader has to take off his shoes, etc. All of these associations. And now we're told that when we come into the land, we have to have one day a year, which is a Zichron Truah, meaning a day in which remember the Truah. Which Truah? The Truah that you're going to be sounding when you come into the land and you go to war to conquer Eretz Israel. And why is this so critical? So you don't ever make the mistake that is repeated consistently as a warning throughout Sefer Dvarim of thinking, that you won it through your own might. You won this war because Hashem is with you. And the sounding of the shofar, the Zichron Truah, is the way of remembering that. So this is a different angle, a different way of looking at Zichron Truah and what it is that we are accomplishing through the act of the Truah, which is in there in order to create a commemoration of the Truah that goes back to that wondrous time of Kibush Haaretz.
So when Rabbi Gorin blew the shofar at the Kotel, did he blow it to Kier or a Truah?
Actually, he didn't blow any of it because he couldn't. He was so emotionally overwrought. But my sense is that the Chayal who took it from him and did blew it to Kia Gdolah. And that was based on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, "Vaya bayomahu yitaka b'shofar gadol, uvav avdim be'eretz asher nechim be'eretz Yisrael, yishtachavu l'Adonai kodesh b'shalayim," which is the whole notion of Mashiach. That Mashiach tzeit, there's going to be a shofar tkiyah gedolah, and everybody's going to come. But on the way into war, had they had that opportunity, then it would have been a trua. Yeah. All right. So Mir Tashem, next week, we'll take a look at another angle of Tkiat Shofar. In the meantime, everybody have a great week.